of Arjuna's four wives, obviously we hear about and know about most is Draupadi, the one sharing with his brothers. But the other three, remember, he picked up on the 12 months pilgrimage that was forced upon him in the agreement he had with his brothers. Fairly early on in the pilgrimage, he married Alupi. Actually, she was widowed. Remember, she was from the Naga nation. And then shortly after that was Chitrangada. And she was brought up as a fighting, a military princess of the Manipura state. And of course, right towards the end of the pilgrimage, and we see a little bit more of her, was Krishna's sister. But the other two, we don't really see much of until right towards the end when the battle is over and they are getting the empire into order and, of course, the deep depression of Yudhishthira. And at the same time, there was the problem of Uttara, the little girl who had married Abhimanyu, the Arjuna's son by Subhadra, being stillborn. He needed to be kept alive for the line of the Kuru to exist, and so Krishna sorted that out. But going back to this aspect, the three elements that can atone for sin, and as far as Yudhishthira is concerned, this was a major, major sin that he committed by the death of all his relations and all of humanity that he was responsible for, but particularly so for the death of Bhishma and Karna, which they didn't know was their brother at the time, of course. Now, the three ways of actually trying to overcome sin, that's more of a Western word these days, you didn't hear it so much in those old days, but in fact overcoming all the wrongdoings was by sacrifices or giving gifts to Brahmins or by austerities. And it was these sacrifices, particularly the Ashwamedha, the horse sacrifice, that was a major sacrifice which would absolve an awful lot of sins. And he was being exhorted, Yudhishthira was being exhorted right early on after the end of the war by the rishis, and also particularly Vyasa and Krishna. But one of the big problems was that there was virtually no money around. The treasury had been exhausted. You know, once you get into a battle, once you get in or hold a war, it eats up money like anything. And this is what had happened. And so Yudhishthira said to Vyasa, how can I actually carry out this sacrifice, which you want me to do? And Krishna particularly also wanted him to do it, if there's no money. Well, Vyasa said, well, that can be solved, because there was a great king of many years ago that had amassed an enormous wealth, and he'd hidden it all at Mount Himalaya, and it was guarded by snakes and all this sort of stuff. So he exhorted the brothers to go off and gain that wealth and bring it back, which would actually pay for the sacrifice. So this he did. Yudhishthira and all the brothers went off. But it was about that time, and just after, before they came back, that the problem of the stillborn child, the heir to the line of Kurus, was stillborn. But let us move on rather quickly, because we'll get over the money they got, which was fine, and the horse sacrifice was put into operation. And for that, the suitors, remember the half-castes who were always charioteers, and the Brahmin were told to choose the right sort of horse. Arjuna was to be the one who was to follow the horse, and that was Vyasa who chose him, and he'd follow him on foot. He took his chariot, of course, but a lot of it was actually following on foot. And the horse was to wander from one nation to another nation. And if that particular nation which the horse entered into was captured or challenged by that nation, then it was up to Arjuna and his following armies to defeat that nation and come under the sway of Yudhishthira. In fact, an imperialistic situation. And Yudhishthira quite specifically said to Arjuna, there will be a lot of nations you come across where there'll be a lot of ill will towards us because we've killed a lot of their people, their kings and so forth. Don't kill anyone unless you really have to. And so he had that brief, pretty tough. And initially, as he wandered off after the horse and it went its own way, most of the lands he went to towards the north and then towards the west were friendly. So there was no problem with that at all. He would be welcomed, he would be given the guest's gift and all this sort of thing, and he'd invite them to the Swayamvara, the horse sacrifice of Yudhishthira. But the problem occurred when he came to Manipura, where his wife Chitrangada lived, and she had the son who was king then, Babruvahana. And the problem was the young lad was very polite, he had no armour on, he offered Arjuna the guest gift, and so on. And Krishna really gave him a big rocket. He said, "You're a Kshatriya. What do you think you're doing? You should be challenging me and you should fight me." Well, this put the lad in quite a spot. But Lupi, who quite nearby, of course, she was in the nether, the lower regions of the Ganges, right at the better, she picked up. Remember, she had a lot of powers, psychic powers, as well as developed powers that she could use. She picked up this problem there, and she appeared. And remember, she'd helped bring up this boy, bring up the prince with Chitrangada, said to him, "You should do it. You remember, you're a Kshatriya, and do your duty." And so the poor chap went, put his armour on, and challenged his father. And as he did this, still the words of his stepmother Lupi was ringing out, "You must do this, and your father will be so gratified by it." In fact, the son was in his chariot, as I've just mentioned, but Arjuna was on foot. And the first thing that the boy arranged was for someone knew about horses, was to take the horse and capture it. This was part of the ritual. And when Arjuna saw that, he was very happy. So he knew his son was being brought into battle with him. And quite early on in the duel, an arrow from his son went into his shoulder, very nasty indeed. And that actually wounded him quite a bit. He sort of had to halt and hang on to Gandhava, his bow, to steady himself. But his strength came back, and actually he praised his son for the expert way he was fighting him. Arjuna asked his son to hold steady so that he could fire at him, and he fired away, and all his arrows were being cut by his son. And then Arjuna, with one broad-headed arrow, downed his flag mast, and then a very quick arrow went right through into Arjuna, hitting him in the chest. It went right to his inner vital parts, his organs, and Arjuna staggered and fell to the ground, and his death. Well, his son was absolutely mortified, as you can imagine. As he rushed towards his father, he himself fell over and fell down in a complete swoon. And not only was it because of the shock of actually having killed his father, but also the fact that he'd been exerting himself enormously during the whole of the fighting. Well, when Chitrangada heard that her husband had been killed and her son had fallen down, she herself came weeping and wailing and trembling to the battlefield to see what happened. And she herself fell over and lost consciousness for a while. And when she got up, she turned to Lupi and she said, "What are you doing? What have you done? It's you who've killed our husband by exhorting my son to fight with him." And the mother said, "I don't grieve for my son, but I grieve for my husband." But Lupi was pretty cool. She went over to Arjuna and said, "Oh, great Lord, why are you lying there? I have released the horse. The horse is you. Get up and follow the horse and complete your task." And while all this was going on, Chitrangada was having a go at Lupi, saying, "How can you be so calm when our husband has been killed by you?" Anyway, Lupi realized what was happening and rushed off to her father to get one of these magic gems that is quite common amongst the Nagas that can bring back life after death, what they call a Nagamani. And the father gave her the gem, and Lupi brought this back and gave it to the son, Babru Vahana, and said to him, "Put this on your father's chest." And so the son went over, and placing it on the chest, after a while, there was movement for Arjuna. And then he opened his eyes and looked at his son and said, "What are you doing?" And his son, with his head half down, said to him, "Don't ask me, please ask Lupi." And so Lupi explained that she had picked up and understood that Arjuna was heavily under a curse for killing Bhishma. Remember that Bhishma would not fight a woman. And Shikhandin, the prince, the Panchala prince, had changed sex. He was a man in this incarnation, but previously wasn't. And Bhishma would have known that through his own powers. So Shikhandin was firing away at Bhishma, and Bhishma wasn't firing, and behind Shikhandin, Shikhandin, if you like, as a decoy, a shield, was Arjuna's piercing arrows that finished Bhishma off. Well, when this was known by the other seven Vasus, these were really brothers to Bhishma. They were demigods, and they were attendants, I think, mainly upon Shiva, although I think initially they were with Indra, attendants, semigods in attendance. They actually cursed Arjuna because he hadn't fought fairly in killing their brother. And they actually went to Ganga, the mother of Bhishma and said what they'd done, and she'd agreed. So when Alupi had told her father, and she was pretty upset too about this, the father knew them quite well. The father actually went to see all the other seven brothers, the seven Vasus, and said to him, what can be done? How can actually we bring back Arjuna to life? And so they told him. They told him that if he was to take this gem, this Nagamani, it would revive Arjuna. And this is what happened. So the son, Baba Vruhana, asked his father to stay the night if he would stay with them. And Arjuna said, well, this is my vow. I can't do this as things are. And whilst this horse is still roaming, I have no rest whatsoever. But you must come to Yudhishthira's horse sacrifice. And the son said, yes, of course he would come. And he would act there as a giver of food. He'd be one of the servants, act with the servants, he'd be giving out food to all the guests. So Arjuna blessed his son and asked permission of his two wives to leave. And of course they granted this. And he then continued following the horse. Well, if you have been, thanks for listening.